All right, Clowncore, if you were to tell me coming into 2023 that the best Batman book I would read in a long time was to come out of Japan, frankly, I probably wouldn't be surprised considering DC doesn't know how to write a good Batman book. But we have Batman Justice Buster Volume 1 from Kodansha Publishing. I probably butchered that, and I'll probably butcher these names as well. It came from Ichi Shimizu and Tomohiro Shimoguchi. I apologize to anyone who is listening to this that even remotely speaks Japanese, because I know I butchered those pronunciations. But it was a very interesting concept. I know Japan has done Batman stories, Spider-Man stories, and the like, but so this in many ways is kind of a typical Batman story, right? It starts out and he's dealing with Firefly. We see him meet Superman to, you know, Superman trying to convince him to join the Justice League. This is a Batman that's relatively early on. He's about 3 years into his career. But what's interesting is Robin exists, but Robin currently is an AI. And you can kind of already see where the story is going with this, right? So Robin is an AI that when Batman is dealing with Firefly, prevents him from using his grapple gun because the AI is predicting that based on previous encounters with Firefly that what Batman was about to latch onto is booby-trapped. So the AI disables Batman's weapon, predicting that Batman has something like a 98% probability of doing something that would not only still stop Firefly, but also save himself. And of course, the AI ends up being correct. Alfred, thankfully, is very skeptical of this thing. Batman is trying to program this AI in a manner that it not only can predict crimes, but actually predict the crimes before they happen. Now, here's the first issue I have with it. That's a little too Minority Report for Batman. He is obviously a crime fighter, but there is nothing within his past and within his character over the many, many years he's been around that would ever suggest that he would do this sort of thing, because it very much is a you're guilty before you do anything sort of mannerism that Batman, frankly, doesn't believe in. But you can kind of dismiss it a little bit because they give you at least a pseudo emotional explanation about, you know, his parents dying, the his father only having $370 on him in cash or something like that at the time that he was shot, and the fact that he doesn't want to see, you know, nobody wants to see innocent people get hurt, you know, with criminals. All right, fine. It's very un-Batman, but for story purposes, I was willing to dismiss it and continue on. Then we see Batman run into Superman, aka Clark Kent. This is the first time they have. Clark Kent is trying to interview him for a paper. Batman rents out the entire restaurant that they are going to meet at, so basically he can turn around and be like, "I know you're Superman. I know you guys have this league. I know the reason you're really here is to try and recruit me for it," and the answer is no. That's a very Batman thing to do, frankly. He doesn't really care about the Justice League. I've said this before. Batman doesn't really care about anything that doesn't really affect Gotham directly, right? So whenever people start doing like the global Batman stuff and it's like, "Oh, there's this big mystery over in England." Well, if it doesn't stretch over into Gotham, Batman doesn't really care, right? Like, that's kind of a facet of his characters, that he cares about this city because of his parents' legacy there. That's really a key point to it. So he turns down joining the Justice League. Then he proceeds to say that justice is violence, that the Justice League is more like the Kindness League. And he also says that they are a threat in and of themselves, because what would happen if they start operating unilaterally and they decide that they want to start doing things that could be considered a threat? Like, who would be able to stop them? Of course, the implication being that Batman has already thought about this and already planned on stopping them. We will get back to this because I think it feeds into the AI thing. I do briefly want to touch on the philosophical note that he brings up of, you know, just what is justice? Justice is violence, and that the law gets in the way of justice. And at first, I had somewhat of an umbrage with this, but then the reality is there is some truth to that. I think it's very clumsily worded, but I get what they're going for, right? Like, somebody wrongs you, and you try to mete out justice. You know, somebody punches you punch them back, whatever. There's the law can, in fact, get in the way of these things sometimes, right? Now, again, I think the other implication is that they have Batman operating in sort of this very authoritarian manner. We see him in a some behaviors that's basically like, well, the law gets in the way, therefore I will place myself above the law, as opposed to what we usually see in the American comics of, or at least we used to, where he almost operates parallel to the law, where the law is inadequate in certain ways, or the people that are supposed to be enacting the law, which probably is the better way to do this, that the law would mete out justice if the people that are supposed to be representing the law or enacting the law actually did it and did it appropriately. They don't, so he operates in a parallel manner to it, as opposed to placing himself above it, where he is basically this judge, jury, and executioner, which is kind of what we see the direction going with the idea of programming this AI, Robin, to be able to predict crimes before they happen and stop them before they happen. It's a very interesting conversation he has with Clark, and I think this is kind of foreshadowing what moves forward. Then we move into some really weird shit, where he runs into Killer Croc, and he gets help from the Joker, of all people. Now, the Joker is just a violent vigilante in this story at this point. He's also wearing a luchador mask, which is very off-putting. So he has the trench coat and the knives and the whole nine that we've come to kind of associate with the Joker. There's some implications about a character that we see without a mask, and we never really get his name, but implications that he is, in fact, the Joker, in my opinion. But Batman gets help from the Joker taking down Croc, and then Joker goes to kill Croc, and it becomes known that Joker is basically a violent vigilante operating sort of parallel to Batman within Gotham. It actually came up during Clark Kent's interview with Batman, where he called him, you know, Batman's violent partner, because Batman said he doesn't kill, and he said, your partner does. And Bruce's response is, I have no partner, and then it just kind of leads into this section of the story. Although I'm not particularly a fan of this idea of a vigilante Joker, it's interesting that the writer decided to go this way, because what you end up seeing is sort of a foundation as to what friction might come between the Joker and Batman that leads perhaps into the Joker being a villain, because their conversation gives you this hint that he has sort of worked parallel with Batman before. He offers Batman a partnership, said every time we run into each other, we work together very well, but yet you don't. And then later on in the book, we get an introduction to Dick Grayson. We see Dick Grayson's parents die and all the things that start moving into place that Batman will take on a Robin, and Joker will probably be jealous and become Joker as we understand him, right? We also get this sort of foundation of he understands how Batman operates because he's worked with Batman. So when the Joker does turn evil, which I'm almost guaranteeing that he does, he can he can vex Batman, let's say, in the ways that he can because he has worked so closely with Batman already. It's not just, ooh, the Joker's crazy and Batman can't predict him. It's, oh, you know, he has an understanding of how Batman operates on a deeper level because he's been Batman's partner. So long story short, this is very much a introductory volume. And I think the story Justice Buster, I think that's basically going to be Robin, right? The fact that Bruce is programming the AI in a particular way, Bruce views the Justice League as a threat and says, who would be able to unilaterally stop you if you decided to threaten people? This means that the AI is going to probably read the Justice League as a threat and then try to get rid of the Justice League in advance before they become evil, because again, it's about predicting and stopping crime before it happens. And Bruce kind of gives a little bit of the, you know, even if there's only a 1% chance of you guys turning, it has to be taken as an absolute because you guys are so dangerous sort of speech. And that's going to be the story arc of the Justice Buster, right? This AI is the Justice League Buster, if you will. It's, of course, a Japanese manga, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bat mech that gets introduced at some point. Hell, maybe the AI takes over it. And, of course, you know, this is eventually going to lead into the slow burn of Joker turning evil. But I really hope they kind of lean into this AI part of the story and the philosophical and moral implications of AI, because everybody talks about AI as if, oh, it's a machine, it's neutral, it has no emotions. Yes, but those machines, those artificial intelligences, are pre-programmed by people who have emotions, who have biases, who have certain things that are going to inevitably bleed into that machine, as we're seeing with Batman's opinion of the Justice League, and then the AI is going to view the Justice League as a threat. Lean into that storytelling a little bit and the implications of, frankly, human civilization in the world, moving forward in the world that we're in. AI is not some neutral, you know, non-judgmental arbiter in that capacity. AI is going to have the same biases and viewpoints largely of the people that program it or interact with it. It's one of the reasons why I've said that AI is dangerous if it's held in the hands of a few and it should be open source and everybody should be able to interact with it, because it prevents it from becoming basically a microcosm of one particular viewpoint and one particular belief system, if you will, that exists within the world. So artwork's good. It's very manga. My only real criticism of the artwork is that some of the characters look very similar. The male characters, I've noticed this with manga in general, that the females always seem to be very dynamic and they're very easy to tell apart typically, but the males kind of always tend to bleed together. The irony being that the males that tend to look the most separate are always in ones that are like Dragon Ball or something like that, where the guys are the focus. But even in ones where the guys aren't the focus, sometimes the guys bleed together. You know, Batman is the lead character, but some of his facial features are very similar to some of the other side characters, like the mysterious private detective that I think is the Joker. He clearly looks different from Clark Kent, which is good, because you want your main characters to be easily, you know, identifiable. And obviously, when he's in a bat suit, he very much stands out. But I do feel like sometimes with the Japanese art style, the male characters do have a bit of sameness to them. And frankly, at times with artists moving around American books, it's very easy to level the same sort of criticism where, oh, you know, this artist worked on Superman and now they work on Green Lantern and then, you know, they work on Batman and all of those characters kind of look alike too. There should be some delineation between those characters. I like the fact that, for example, when done well, the Flash is skinnier and leaner than other heroes like a Superman or a Batman, right? John Constantine or Doctor Strange as magicians don't need to be as ripped or jacked or athletic as like a Spider-Man or Punisher. So if you're looking for a good Bat book and you want to try something a little different because DC doesn't know how to write anything worth a damn, check it out. Batman Justice Buster Volume 1, I'm HVK. That's all I got. The end.